I saw something yesterday about a Mars camp that I think NASA or someone had put together. And it is, the whole idea is to have a place where they can test people and products, different types of materials, to make sure that they can sustain the intense environment on Mars. And so they were talking about needing to have some volunteers go into this camp and spend a certain amount of time in preparation. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'll be signing up for that. I don't want to go to Mars. I haven't seen enough of Earth yet, and frankly, kind of scared of heights. So I don't think I want to go to Mars. It just doesn't look like a great place. I mean, why on earth would we want to go to Mars? Well, I suppose for those who do want to go, it would be a healthy exercise for NASA or whomever to test humans and to test all of these things that need to go into space so that they can survive. This morning in our gospel text, we have heard about a testing time. A testing time for Jesus. And Mark gets really down right to it. And somebody had mentioned, actually I heard a couple people say, oh, we're doing the baptism again? And yes, we've heard a lot about Jesus' baptism here lately in the last, I don't know, month and a half. And as we find in Mark's gospel, and as I've said before, Mark is running through it pretty fast. He is attempting to cut out everything that he doesn't think is as important as the immediacy of Jesus getting right in and doing ministry and heading toward Jerusalem. So it is the shortest of gospels. It is a beautiful gospel, but it doesn't have all the details that we would find in the other gospels. But this journey, this testing time for Jesus, is one that will take him to a whole new place as he launches into a new realm of the kingdom of God. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit after his baptism. And that's why our reading includes all that this morning. Again, this little section is so small because it goes right from the baptism and actually just above, we get the idea, Jesus is born and then boom, he's already going to the Jordan River and getting baptized. And so the emphasis this morning is not so much on the baptism, although that is important, but it is about him going into the wilderness, because that happened exactly just right after all of this took place in the Jordan River. Well, as he was there, he faced temptations. In other gospels, we find out what those temptations are. But Mark just says temptations. I mean, isn't that enough? We all know what temptations are. And as Mark described, wild beasts. And we all want to know, what are these wild beasts that he encounters out there? Mark doesn't give us a whole lot there. But Mark does give us the information about what takes place as he goes to the wilderness and then as he leaves the wilderness and what it is that he goes into. And he does mention as well, that there are angels. So not just wild beasts, but there are angels who are out there. And as Mark describes, they are there in the wilderness and they are serving him. And that word serving is the same word that we would use for a deacon. I think I mentioned several weeks ago when Jesus went to Simon Peter's house and Simon Peter's mother-in-law had a fever and was sick, and Jesus healed her and lifted her up out of the bed. She immediately began to serve him. And lest we think that's a sexist kind of thing, like, okay, well, he healed her so that she could start serving him and making him some iced tea or something. No, it was a different kind of word, attending to him, supporting him, giving him strength and whatever it is that he needed in his ministry. And so we see that this was taking place here. The angels were serving. They were attending to Jesus' every need while he was out there in the wilderness. I have a few images here. And as we can just kind of think about Jesus being out there in the wilderness and how lonely it must have been and how famished he must have been. And again, we see that in the other Gospels. Jesus is so hungry. He's looking at some rocks and he starts to think, you know, well, maybe those kind of look like loaves of bread. And the temptation is, Jesus, why don't you just turn those into bread? And so this interaction, this temptation that's going back and forth. Here, at first it looks kind of creepy, but you see, and this is a James Tissot painting, you see the angels as they are all out there ministering to Jesus. Well, this is a great text for us as we begin Lent. We learn that after our baptism come the challenges and the struggles of life in the wilderness. I hope that you will see these next 40 days of Lent as a kind of wilderness, a kind of journey that you are going on to get closer to God and to have Him take over more of your life. As C.S. Lewis wrote, "No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good." Isn't that true? I mean, you don't need me to tell you that when you start to live closer to God as you follow Jesus, that there are all kinds of temptations and struggles that you will face. Whether you see all of this as a testing from God or just the friction, the inevitable friction that comes from living like Jesus in a world that is very opposed to Jesus and to the ways of Jesus. It is counterculture, is it not? And Jesus got in trouble for going against the system all the time. I wonder, in what ways are you being tested right now? And please don't answer out loud. In what ways are you struggling and feeling weak and maybe even alone in your Christian life? It's hard to go anywhere without being surrounded by people. But even when we're surrounded by people, we can be quite lonely, right? Especially in our Christian life. Well, no matter how long we have been Christians and trying to follow Jesus more closely, we all need help. I need your help. You need my help. We need each other's help in the Christian life. And that's where our gospel text helps us this morning, as it describes how and when God showed up there in the wilderness. And by the way, this is not the first wilderness God showed up in, right? As you read throughout the Bible, you see that God's people are always in some kind of wilderness, and God is always showing up for them in the wilderness. The first thing to know is that the Holy Spirit has been working in your life all this time. Even if you don't realize it, the Holy Spirit has been working in your life. Go ahead and turn to somebody and say, "The Holy Spirit's working in your life." Trying to keep you all awake and going this morning. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts, in our minds, in our circumstances, our relationships, and yes, right here in our church, all to draw us nearer to the heart of God. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us to baptism and is there descending upon us like a dove when we are baptized. But then the Spirit leads us into the Christian life. And that's what Mark points out, that then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And the Spirit leads us in our Christian lives out of the comfort of the baptismal waters and into the real struggles and the challenges of living for Jesus in our everyday lives. But we must know that the Spirit doesn't lead us where the Spirit won't be with us. Sometimes it is hard for us to recognize its presence when we are tempted, when we are tried, and when we are tested. But we must know that the Spirit is there all along. Think about that as you begin this next week. As you look ahead at what may come along at work, or at school, or at home, the Holy Spirit will be there in all of those places. If we aren't careful, we will miss seeing God's help when we're in those places. In Scott McKnight's book, The Hum of Angels, he writes about taking down his hummingbird feeder because there weren't any hummingbirds showing up. And so he just concluded that there weren't any hummingbirds where he lived. And so he just gave up on trying to get the nectar recipe all right and everything. He just said, I mean, there aren't any hummingbirds here. He mentioned this to a bird store owner one day. And so he describes the conversation. The shop owner asked where we lived, and I told him. And then he said, they are there. Not only do some of your neighbors have hummers on their feeders, but hummers are all over that village. What he said next was the take-home line. You just have to have eyes to see them. Once you do, you will see them everywhere. They are small and fast and camouflaged, but they are not that hard to spot. He says, like angels, they too are all around us. Few of us have seen one because we first have to learn what we are looking for. He says, in a good book about angels, Martin Israel, quoting a friend, wrote this, eternity lies all around us, and only a veil prevents us seeing it. The hum of angels surrounds us, and we only need ears to hear it, or eyes to see them, or perhaps a special sense for them. After all, the Bible tells us that Balaam's donkey could see an angel that Balaam himself could not see. Angels all around us. That's nice to know when we are being tempted, when we are going through the struggles of our lives. Well, in addition to the Holy Spirit being with us, the angels of God are there in the wilderness. And we don't know a lot about angels other than we know that they show up where God wants them to show up. We might sense their presence amid something that is not going on in our life the way we want it to go. In the kindness that someone shows us, in the protection from something that would no doubt have taken our lives or ruined our lives. Or maybe it is in something that we see now that we look back and realize that we had been entertaining an angel all along. The main thing for you and I to know is that God's angels are there to serve us, to attend to our needs, especially when we are doing battle against the things that are coming against us. And so we should know that we are always well armed and supported when we face challenges and struggles, whether they are addictions, relationship issues, financial needs, health issues, or just the general anxieties of life. We can be encouraged knowing that they are there with us, even among the wild beasts that we often encounter in the wilderness. In what ways do you need to see God's help through these powerful agents right now in your life? Well, this is how Jesus began his journey with the kingdom of God. Tested in every way and not defenseless. Alone, and yet not alone. As we continue in our journey, especially this Lent, may we find the same help that Jesus did. Amen.
Amen.